In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Word of God that engages us today is the Old Testament of one of the pericopic systems for the week of Epiphany 4. And after hearing these words from the Holy Scriptures, about all one can say is, what a prophet. Just three things this morning. First, God raised him. The aged Moses was about to die. The people were perhaps wondering what would become of them after this great, strong leader would be no more. And therefore, Moses promised, don't fret. God will raise up a prophet like me. Indeed, he did. Joshua, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, and finally Jesus of Galilee. Yes, God indeed raised Christ, but only after lowering into a manger, God lowered this prophet, and then into a life of poverty, pain, a life of humble service to all. What an incredible lowering this is. For ponder who it was that is being lowered. Isaiah proclaims of him, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the balance. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. To whom then will you liken God? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. This is the God who shrinks himself into a baby and then lowers himself into a bed of straw for you. Think of the people for whom he lowered himself. Enemies, God haters, stubborn, stiff-necked. Not friends or loved ones who cried for help, but his enemies. It's so incredible. It is divine. God raised this prophet on a cross, like the copper snake we read in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And God raised this prophet out of the grave. This is the greatest and most glorious of all, the raising that lifts us above our nagging fear of death, raises us above our despair of sin, that lifts us above our crushing burden. This raising of God's Son on Easter raises us in victory over the devil, hell, and all our sins. And God raised this prophet up to his right hand. There he prays for us. There he rules for us. From there he will return for us. And by this raising of Christ onto a cross and out of a grave, we have a lowering of our sins. Our sins were lowered into his vacated tomb, there to be buried forever. And we have a raising of our sights, as Paul says in Colossians 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We live every second. We live through every trial, frustration, and tragedy in the light of eternity. For we have, by his raising on the cross and out of the grave, Jesus' own promise for us, because I live, you will live also. What a prophet. Second, this prophet is like Moses and yet different. He is like Moses. Both served as go-between. Take the case of Moses. He represented the people to God. Standing beneath the flaming, shaking Mount Sinai, terrified Israel could say only one thing. Moses, you talk to God for us. We can't stand to get too close to him or we'll die. We're combustible people. We're sinful people. And if we get too close to this fiery God, we'll go up in eternal smoke. And so Moses went to the mountaintop and talked to God for the people. That's the way it was during the 40 years of desert journeying. Israel talked to God, dealt with God through Moses. And Moses represented God to the people. It was through Moses that God rescued Israel from Egypt. Through Moses, God gave Israel his law. Through Moses, God led and cared for his people in the desert. Moses was God's man for Israel. In his face, the people saw the reflected yet veiled glory of the Almighty. Even so it is with Christ. He represents us to God. He stands for us before God. And he stands. With the Hebrew poet, we too confess, if you, O Lord, would mark our sins, who would stand? Who can stand perfect and acquitted before God? One man can and does stand before God, stands absolutely pure and guiltless. That man is Christ. And the comfort of it all is this: he stands there for us, in our place. In him, God sees you. God represents us, or Christ represents us before God in his death. Instead of killing us all for our sin, sending us all to the death of hell, God's justice was satisfied by one man, his only son, Jesus. His death is yours before God, the one you should have died, but won't. Jesus represents you before God in his resurrection. Christ is ultimately you rising from the tomb. That's the way God sees it. Jesus rose from the grave, and if he did, so did you, for your baptism puts you in the raised Christ. And Christ represents God to us. In his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress, Luther confesses of Christ, and there's none other God. He is the God you know, adore, and trust. And he is different from Moses. Moses went up to Sinai to speak with God for the people. Jesus went up to Calvary to die for all the people. On Calvary, God didn't talk for a while with his son. Christ called out, but his father didn't answer. And also, Moses was willing to be blotted out from God's book of life for his people. But Jesus wasn't just willing to give his life for you. He did. What a prophet. And finally, this prophet is one of us. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. This promise, my friends, to Israel meant that they would always have plenty of preachers from their own midst. Behold, God is at work. God has raised you from among his people to proclaim his good news in this prophet as you prepare for the pastoral office or as you already hold the holy ministry. With joy in our hearts, we say Jesus was indeed from our brothers and one of us, and above all, one with us in all our temptations and sufferings, with us in our death, that we might be with him and the Father forever. Amen. What a prophet.